Welcome back. In this masterclass, we're building a heavyweight mid-bass system in Ableton Live 12 that sits properly on top of a clean sub and gives you that old-school jungle, dark roller, slightly neuro-leaning impact without turning the whole low end into a swamp. And that distinction matters. In drum and bass, the sub is the foundation. The mid-bass is the personality. It's the growl, the motion, the attitude, the rhythmic push. If you get that relationship right, the track suddenly feels expensive, controlled, and dangerous in the best way. So the goal here is not just a bigger bass sound. The goal is a bass system. Tight mono sub, gritty moving mid layer, and a phrase that locks into the break like it belongs there. We want weight, but we want discipline. Start by setting your project tempo around 170 to 174 BPM. That range is perfect for this style because it gives the drums enough energy while still leaving room for the bass to speak. Then set up three tracks, one for sub, one for mid-bass, and one for your drums or break bus. If you've got a reference track, put it on its own channel and level match it. Don't compare loudness. Compare balance, density, and stereo behavior. Also, leave yourself headroom. As you write, aim for peaks around -6 dB/fs on the master. That gives you space to build the low end without constantly fighting clipping. Now build the sub first. That's the anchor on your sub track. Load operator and use a simple sine wave. Keep it clean. No drama here. No unnecessary harmonics. Just a pure foundation. Give it a fast attack, almost instant, and a short release if you want the bass line to feel tighter and more rolling. If the groove needs more sustain, extend the release a little, but don't let it become blurry. Keep the sub fully centered. In utility, set the width to 0% or make sure it stays mono. In DNB, that low end has to behave. The kick and the break need room, and the sub should feel stable enough to support them rather than compete with them. A good habit here is to write simple sub movement first. Root notes, maybe a fifth, maybe a small step movement. Don't overcomplicate the line at this stage. If the sub is solid, everything else gets easier. Now move to the mid bass track, and this is where the character starts. Load Waveatable and start with two saw-based oscillators. You can also blend in a triangle if you want a slightly rounder old-school feel, but saws are a great starting point because they give you that dense harmonic core. Detune the oscillators slightly against each other. Don't go too wide. We're not trying to build a massive trance stack. We want tension. Use a low-pass filter, usually 24 dB, and add a bit of drive to it. That helps the bass feel thicker and more present. You can also add a touch of envelope movement to the filter so the note has a subtle attack. That little opening on the front of the note can make the bass feel much more alive. For movement, add a slow LFO to waveatable position or fine pitch. Keep it very subtle. Think of it as a slight internal drift, not an obvious wobble. Around 0.05 to 0.15 Hz is a good zone. That sort of micro motion works really well in jungle and old school inspired DNB because it gives the bass some nervous energy without stealing focus from the break. If you prefer a rougher tone, you can use analog instead of waveatable. That can feel a bit more immediate and raw. Slight detune, filter drive, and you're in business. Now let's shape that sound with a chain that keeps the aggression under control. After the synth, put saturator first. Give it about 3 to 8 dB of drive to start with, and use soft clip if needed. This adds harmonics and helps the bass read on smaller speakers. After that, use auto filter for movement. You can automate the cutoff for phrase shaping, or just use it as a tonal control. Then add EQA to clean up the mud and harshness. If it's getting cloudy around 200 to 400 Hz, cut a little there. If the bite gets brittle around 2.5 to 5 kHz, tame that too. Finally, if you want extra glue, add drum bus lightly. Just a touch. Enough to add edge, not enough to crush the transient. And here is an important mindset shift. Distort the mid-bass, not the sub. That's where a lot of people go wrong. The sub should stay clean and stable. If you want more translation, you can even duplicate the bass and high pass that duplicate aggressively, so the saturation lives only in the upper layer. That way the fundamental stays intact. Now let's make this into a proper instrument system. Group the mid-bass into an instrument rack and split it into useful layers or performance states. In practice, your sub should still live on the separate sub track, but the mid layer can be expanded and controlled inside the rack. Use EQA to high-pass the mid-chain somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz. That keeps the low end clean. Then use utility after that and map width carefully. A range of 70 to 120% can work on the upper harmonics, but never on the core low end. Map your macros to useful controls like filter cutoff, saturator drive, wave eatable position, and width. That way you can perform the bass instead of just leaving it static. In a real track, that flexibility is gold. Now comes the part that makes the whole thing feel like DNB instead of just a synth loop, the writing. Write the bass line like a drum element. Seriously, in old school jungle and DNB, bass often behaves like another break layer. It syncopates, it answers, it leaves space. It does not just sit there and play every beat. A 2-bar or 4-bar motif is a great place to start. Put notes mostly on off beats, and let the pattern answer the snare or ghost snare areas. Keep note lengths short to medium. 1/8 to 1/4 notes are often enough. Leave rests on purpose. That empty space is part of the groove. If the break is busy, keep the bass simpler. If the break is sparse, you can let the bass become more active. That contrast is what gives the track tension and swing. A really effective approach is to make the bass talk to the drums with sidechain compression. Put a compressor on the mid-bass, and if needed, on the sub too. Sidechain it from the kick or the drum bus. Use a moderate ratio, maybe 2:1 or 4:1, with an attack somewhere around 5 to 20 milliseconds and a release around 50 to 140 milliseconds. You want it to duck naturally, not pump like a house record unless that's the intention. You can also think in terms of envelope shaping. If a note is fighting a snare hit, don't just make it louder. Shorten the tail, shift the note slightly, or automate a little filter dip. Often the fix is timing and shape, not gain. Now here's a classic move: resample the mid-bass. Once the synth patch is close, record it to audio. This is a huge DNB workflow trick, because it gives you more control and helps you commit to character. Slice the audio into 1-bar or 2-bar phrases. Reverse a tiny fragment. Pitch one hit up or down. Mute the first hit in bar 2. Make tiny surgical edits. That's where the bass starts to feel like a record, not just a plug-in patch. You can also duplicate the resampled audio, high-pass the duplicate around 200 to 300 Hz, and distort that version more heavily. Blend it quietly under the main audio. That gives you extra edge and note definition without wrecking the foundation. And once you've got the sound, automate it. In DNB, the bass needs to evolve over 8, 16, or 32 bars. Automate filter cutoff during build sections. Increase saturator drive in the second half of a build. Widen the upper harmonics slightly before the drop. Add a little reverb send to the very last bass hit before a transition, but only a little. Use little pickups, ghost notes, or muted hits just before the snare to create anticipation. A strong arrangement might look like this: an 8-bar intro with filtered hints of the bass, then a 16-bar drop where the motif repeats with one variation, then a 4-bar switch up with a different octave or a chopped response, then an 8-bar breakdown to reset the energy. Keep it DJ-friendly. Keep it memorable, but not predictable. Now let's talk about mixing, because this is where a lot of heavy bass patches either become monsters or fall apart. Check the bass in mono. Check it with the kick removed. Check it on headphones. If the bass sounds huge in solo but weak in the track, the problem is usually one of three things: the mid layer is too wide, the sub is unstable, or the note envelope is too long. Also watch the low mid range. Around 200 to 400 Hz is where heaviness can turn into mud fast. If the track starts clobbing up there, use EQ8 carefully. Tiny cuts are usually better than big ones. And if the distortion is making the top end too spiky, tame 3 to 5 kHz a little. One thing to keep in mind: in darker DNB, the heaviest bass is often the one that's the most controlled. It might even feel a little smaller in the mids than you expect. That's okay. The drums and the sub are sharing psychoacoustic space, so you want perceived mass, not just raw bandwidth. A few advanced tricks can push this further. Try a three-state bass patch with a closed filter, an open filter, and an overdriven state. You can move between them with macros or automation. That gives the phrase evolution without changing the identity. Try octave logic too. Use the same motif in different octaves across the arrangement. Low octave for one section, mid octave for impact, maybe a higher answer for a switch up. That gives lift without needing a brand new sound. Ghost notes are another great weapon. Very low velocity pickup notes before the main hit can make the bass phrase feel like it's flaming with the break. That old hardware feel is pure gold in jungle-inspired music. And if the bass feels too static, use rhythmic filter gating instead of smooth sweeps. Open the filter only on certain notes or off beats. That chopped, sampled feel sits beautifully in old-school DNB. Here's a simple practice challenge to lock this in. Make a 174 BPM project. Build a sine sub with operator. Build a wave-eatable Reese mid-bass with two saws, slight to tune, and a low-pass filter. Write a two-bar bass motif that locks to a breakbeat and leaves at least two rhythmic gaps. Add saturator and EQ8 to the mid-bass only. Sidechain it lightly, then resample it to audio and make one tiny edit, like reversing a hit, pitching one note up an octave, or muting the first hit in bar 2. Finally, listen in mono and shape it until it feels heavy but clean. That's the core of the method. Separate sub and mid. Keep the sub clean and mono. Give the mid bass motion, grit, and phrase personality. Write it like part of the drum groove. Resample when the sound is close. And always mix for control first, hype second. If you get this right, your bass won't just be loud. It'll feel like it has weight, attitude, and that proper jungle pressure. That's the sound.